Welcome back. Holy cow. Top of the second hour. You know, it's interesting. You go to onthisday.com and top of the second hour of today's broadcast, by the way, Tuesday, May 1st, May Day, 2018. And, you know, it's just kind of, a byline of history. onthisday.com/today/events.php, you know, on this day in history. What happened today? 1776, Adam Weishaupt found secret society of Illuminati. Huh. Okay, that's interesting. And, you know, ever since then, we've had some interesting things happen, especially throughout the course of the 20th century. May Day is always a day, and, you know, around, it's kind of like 9/11. Something goofy is always happening. You know, for example, 1889, Second International Congress calls for First International Workers' Day, May 1st, 1890, to mark protests in Chicago in 1886. You know, 1886, May Day, U.S. general strike for 8-hour working day begins. And, you know, people don't realize all of that machinery. I mean, that was all planned. None of that was by accident. Again, you go to books like Edward Bellamy's Looking Backward, you know, which was a horribly plagiarized work. The Fabian socialist, Edward Bellamy, whose cousin Francis Bellamy wrote the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, for those who are confused, they should look up the Bellamy salute that looks an awful lot like the Nazi salute. Because again, there are no accidents. This rabid nationalism that crept in. Maybe the business plot intriguers were successful, because after all, how many of them were prosecuted? They were named. Read John Spivak's two-part article series, Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy. You know, who funded the Germans? And for that matter, who sent nuclear technology and so forth to the Russians? What book do I want to get back to? That's Jonathan Quitney's. I need to get back to that too. The Crimes of Patriots, A True Tale of Dope, Dirty Money, and the CIA. You know, and then there's, yeah, the quotes from the foreword of America's Unelected Rulers. You know, Jonathan Quitney talks about that stuff in, I think, the prologue, actually. Anyway, cast of characters. You know, let's see, real quick. I don't want to get... too far ahead. But, I want to say it was, yeah, Quitney in The Crimes of Patriots. But anyway, not to get too far off, Looking Backward by Edward Bellamy, the Fabian socialist. This international workers' day nonsense, May Day, you know, it's not an accident. The general strike, you know, all of these things. Oh, it just seems to, you know, perfect order. And then, of course, you know, again, coming forward to the 60s, not to skip around too much, but, you know, you look at the riots and the footage and you just wonder, none of this is accident. And then you see the footage coming out of Syria. And, you know, I always used to wonder back in the 70s, you know, when you would see the protests in Iran or places like that, and you think, where are they getting these gigantic signs that the only way that you would be able to read a sign, if you're the camera that's, you know, set way up somewhere, and by the way, who's filming that, is to have a giant sign. And I thought we're being told these people are dirt poor. Where are they getting a giant sign that would be expensive? And then you look back at the protests of the 60s, same thing. I suppose people could sit down and do the lettering on their signs, the beautiful little lettering. You know, they could do that, stencil it or something themselves. But the signs all look awfully similar. They don't look like they were handmade, in other words. Where are all these signs coming from? You know, again, Bernays from The Hidden Persuaders, Chapter 19, The Engineered Yes, right? Newsworthy events, Bernays is quoted, newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. How many of these things do we need before we go, you know what, it's not a coincidence? Bernays, who wrote Propaganda, published in 1928, who wasn't guessing. Chapter 4, The Psychology of Public Relations, the systematic study of mass psychology revealed the potentialities of invisible government of society by manipulation of the motives which actuate man in the group. Trotter and Laban, who approached the subject in the scientific manner. Graham Wallace, Walter Lippmann, who were those guys? Who was Walter Lippmann in particular? And others who continued with searching studies of the group mind established that the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual. It's illogical. It's an emotional mess and is motivated by impulses and emotions. The group mind is motivated by impulses and emotions, not logic, not reason, not facts, which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know of individual psychology. So the question naturally arose, yeah, if you're a bad guy, it does. If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? How many of these statements do you need before you go, you know what, maybe it's not a coincidence? So you have, you know, International Workers Day on May Day. And, you know, lots more nonsense coming through the 20th century. L'Ordine Nouveau, Italian socialist weekly newspaper established in Turin by Antonio Gramsci. Who is Gramsci? Fun stuff like that. Same year, British naval officer David Beatty is promoted to admiral. 1919, who was David Beatty? In 1923, Hitler and Ernst Röhm attempt to break up socialist May Day demonstrations inviting Nazis from as far away as Nuremberg. You know, these kinds of things, not accident. Again, I mean, Ivy Lee submitted testimony that I.G. Farben hired him to interview Hitler and company in the 20s, and then, you know, mysteriously died shortly thereafter. Oh, but he was sick before then. So I was having a conversation yesterday, and, you know, I mentioned my suspicious deaths list. I said in conversation we were talking, and all of a sudden Bob Marley came on the radio, and I said, hey, you remember when they stuck cancer in Bob Marley's shoe? And the response I got was priceless. That was fun. What? Yeah, Google it. Anyway, lots and lots of fun things. 1936, FBI's J. Edgar Hoover arrests gangster Alvin Creepy Karpus. 1937, FDR signs the Neutrality Act, banning travel on belligerent ships, and imposes an arms embargo on warring nations. As a run-up to what? 1941, Citizen Kane premieres. Who is Orson Welles? And And, you know, I mean, just on and on. 1943, German Wehrmacht deployed in order to break Dutch strikes. On and on. There are lots more. And, you know, coming into the second half of the 20th century, there are many others that we could focus on. 1946, the Paris Peace Conference concludes that the islands should be returned to Greece, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, May Day is a significant day in bad guy history. So going back to the ...1889, Second International Congress calls for First International Workers' Day, 1st of May, 1890, to mark protests in Chicago, which were not accidental. And back to Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, to kind of conclude that point and, you know, not to get too far off track. I should back up. Chapter 8, The Secret Societies. Well, before I do that, speaking of House, we do know that Edward Mandel House said some interesting things and was mentioned. And speaking of, you know, Benjamin Disraeli, we'll get to that in a second, Coningsby, that quote's interesting. But so, however spurious or not the aforementioned quote attributed to House is or is not, we do know for a fact that in a letter dated November 21, 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote these words to Edward Mandel House. He wrote, "The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element in the larger centers has owned the government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. And I am not wholly accepting the administration of WW, which is Woodrow Wilson. The country is going through a repetition of Jackson's fight with the Bank of the United States, only on a far bigger and broader basis." And so that sort of, I think, categorizes the answer I would give to those. You know, is it different than 1968? Is it different than 1837, for that matter? And as far as that's concerned, you know, I would maybe argue that the Democratic Party, as far as the struggle is concerned, died at, what was it, 1:44 a.m. on June 6th, 1968, but I digress. So, Chapter 8, The Secret Societies. Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. Author Arthur Edward Waite wrote, "Beneath the broad tide of human history, there flow the stealthy undercurrents of the secret societies." What's the title of this book? Oh yeah, The Unseen Hand. What was James Perloff's book? The Shadow Government? Shadows of Power, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Dan Smoot's book, right? The Invisible Government. The Invisible Government by Dan Smoot, which was the term that Edward Bernays used, right? C. Wright Mills used the term power elite. But Edward Bernays, in his book Propaganda, wrote, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism." Ralph Epperson's book, The Unseen Hand, An Introduction to the Conspiratorial View of History. "Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. This is a logical result in the way in which our democratic society is organized." Yeah, sure. So, yeah. Anyway, The Invisible Government, which was the title of Dan Smoot's book, published back in 1962. But I'm sure, you know, we're all imagining this. Author Arthur Edward Waite wrote, "Beneath the broad tide of human history, there flow the stealthy undercurrents of the secret societies, which frequently determine in the depths the changes that take place upon the surface." And before I continue again, just getting back to the national security advisor position, the legitimizing, again, like H.G. Wells wrote, The Open Conspiracy, the national security advisor is the legitimization of Philip Drew administrator. Edward Mandel House was the, you know, arguably one of the most powerful, influential folks this side of the Wizard's Curtain America has ever seen, certainly in the 20th century. And now the national security advisor position legitimizes that, unfortunately. Sadly, it's patently un-American, patently unconstitutional. And, you know, you look at, like I said, you look at guys like Tom Donilon on his Wikipedia page. This line, he is a former member of the steering committee of the Bilderberg Group. There was a time when folks would be outraged. Not anymore, because, you know, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you got all these secret groups that just keep rubbing together like they're like gremlins, you know? You pour water on them and they multiply or something. Anyway, just look at this, look at the list of national security advisors. Kissinger and Brzezinski, neither one born in America, but single-handedly engineering atrocities around the world. You know, not single-handedly, but yeah, single-handedly. All kinds of bad guys. Basically, it's like a who's who of high-level organized government-sanctioned crime. Frank Carlucci, John Poindexter, Brent Scowcroft, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Condoleezza Rice, ugh, Tom Donilon, Susan Rice, ugh, you know, John Bolton. It's just terrible. And it's not even a secret anymore. Does anyone honestly think that, I mean, Barack Obama wrote, I want to say, was it The Audacity of Hope? One of his books he wrote, that once you get to the level of a, you know, U.S. congressman or U.S. senator, you don't do anything anymore. You're whisked around. They, you know, they take you places, they hand you speeches, they tell you what to say. He wrote it. He admitted it. Do we really think that a reality TV star that's in the White House now, that he, I mean, look at how he vacillates on issues. Do we really think that he does anything other than say what he's supposed to say when they pull his string on his back? Or that, dare I say, Ronald Reagan was really a politician and not just, you know, bedtime for Bonzo. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Back. We've once again we've taken a left turn, sort of, but that's all right. Because it's May Day, you know, we got to do this. I mean, people need to know things don't just happen by accident, and so to pretend that they do is disingenuous, to say the least. And, you know, we talked about television yesterday. I'll have to come back to that. And the continuation of that, people are controlled in a way that they don't realize. They're not taught history. You know, again, this is not new. This is not a new subject. Who is the infamous quote? Oh, man. That's going to bug me. Oh, anyway. You know, the one quote that comes to my mind is Bertrand Russell, obviously, you know, several quotes. Chapters 2, chapters 3, in particular, of the impact of science on society, the impact of technocracy on society, really. And him talking about well, I should just quote it. The impact of science on society, the difference between rulers and ruled. You know, scientific technique in oligarchy. Pages 50 and 51. Fidda laid it down. Johann Gottlieb Fidda, old school bad guy, laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. But in his day, this was an unattainable ideal. What he regarded as the best system in existence produced Karl Marx. In other words, you know, we should go far beyond Marx. In future, such failures are not likely to occur where there is a dictatorship. Well, guess what we have in America? What place that passes itself off as school? You know, and as far as, you know, people get all, oh, googly-eyed about charter schools. Look up what Charlotte Isserby has said about charter schools specifically. Look at the 60 Minutes expose 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, on the Gulen Network, Fethullah Gulen and the Gulen Network operating schools. And by the way, again, as a sub note, look at how googly-eyed the Gulen Network folks are over the STEM curriculum, science, technology, engineering, and math. Is next to God and godliness. Ugh. You know, correlation does not equal causation, but, you know, there's fire where there's smoke there, I can assure you. Anyway, continuing, in future such failures are not likely to occur where there is a dictatorship, Russell wrote. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age. What do we have in America now? Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will tell themselves, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so, and because they have all of this stimulation around them. Skipping ahead, children will, as in Plato's Republic, be taken from their mothers and reared by professional nurses. Haven't we seen that? Gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebes would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. Are we there yet? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com, or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. The distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. Welcome, welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. And you know, those words that I was, well, one of the quotes, you know, Benjamin Disraeli, we'll get to him in a second. But, you know, as Nesta Webster quoted, and it's been quoted in over 100 books, again, who cares? You know, Benjamin Disraeli. So you see, my dear Coningsby, that the world is governed by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes. Benjamin Disraeli. And Nesta Webster, you know, so I mentioned the Jacobins. What was the... You know, what did Ralph Epperson write about them? Anyway, from Nesta Webster's World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, page 81. You thought the revolution ended in France, and the revolution in France was only the first attempt of the Jacobins. In the desire of the terrible and formidable sect, you've only reached the first stage of the plans. It has formed for that general revolution, capital R, which is to overthrow all thrones, all altars, annihilate all property, efface all law, and end by dissolving all society. And so this is my point. When you look, I mean, again, I'm not trying to besmirch Kathy Griffin's character. She is a product of this system. You know what Bernays wrote? We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we've never heard of. What Bertrand Russell wrote, gradually by selective breeding, the congenital differences between rulers and ruled become will increase until they become almost different species. But backing up before that, you know, he said, diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and sort of beliefs that authorities consider desirable. What authorities? Let's define terms. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Look at Kathy Griffin. She's a pasty, androgynous-looking, hermaphroditic-looking thing with no identity of her own. And back in 1921, nearly 100 years ago, this is what Nesta Webster wrote. You thought the revolution ended in France, but that was just a first step. The first stage of the plans it has formed for the general revolution, capital R, which is to overthrow all thrones, all altars, annihilate all property, efface all law, and end by dissolving all society. And again, Edward Mandel House was instrumental in what? Edward Mandel House was also known as Colonel House, a dubious honorary title. House's very impressive resume includes son of a wealthy Texas planter, a kingmaker in Texas politics from 1892 to 1902, a top agent for the New York International Bankers, mastermind of Woodrow Wilson's election in as president in 1912. He single-handedly, from behind the scenes, Philip Drew administrator, managed the Wilson campaign. Chief advisor to Woodrow Wilson during his administration from 1913 until 1921. The unseen guardian angel, quote-unquote, of the Federal Reserve in 1913. One of the founders of the League of Nations, founder of the Council on Foreign Relations. That meeting was held 2 years before the Council on Foreign Relations was set up. Remember the meetings overseas where they said, you know, people aren't going for this international, you know, nonsense. We got to create these think tanky sorts of places. So it became the Royal Institute for International Affairs across the pond. And over here, it was the Council on Foreign Relations. But they had those meetings 2 years in advance. In 1919, it was settled, established. And it didn't get traction until about the 40s, I believe, until the Rockefellers started, and then Ford and, you know, the others started pouring obscene amounts of money into the or, you know, specious currency, as it were, into the effort. Founder of the League of Nations, one of the founders, that is, founder of the Council on Foreign Relations and important advisor to FDR, obviously in the 30s, shortly before he passed away in 38, if memory serves. In short, Edward Mandel House was one of the most important insiders of the 20th century, a master conspirator, as it were. Again, published Philip Drew anonymously in 1912. Read Walter Lippmann's, you know, eyebrow-raising review, New York Times book review of Philip Drew administrator in 1912. How did he know? Of course he knew. Walter Lippmann. Anyway, from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 8, Secret Societies. Going forward, author Arthur Edward Waite wrote, beneath the broad tide of human history, there flow the stealthy undercurrents of the secret societies, which frequently determine in the depths the changes that take place upon the surface. British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli, 1874 to 1880, confirmed the above assertion about the control by the secret societies in the affairs of men when he wrote, "There is in Italy a power which we seldom mention in this house, the House of Parliament. I mean the secret societies. It is useless to deny because it is impossible to conceal." Remember the quote from Coningsby. that a great part of Europe, to say nothing of other countries, is covered with a network of these secret societies. What are their objects? They do not want constitutional government. They want to change the tenure of the land, to drive out the present owners of the soil, and to put an end to ecclesiastical establishments. Now, this gets back to my point. So scientism supplants all others, at least for a time. And then getting back to my point, in yesterday's call with Fred in Michigan, and this is a deeper discussion, but like Blackstone wrote, feudal tenure or feudal land ownership is considered supreme or superior to allodial. Can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the years about allodial title. Well, we just needed to, okay, but you need to go back and start with John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law and this design on foot that he wrote about. You know, seems to be a settled design on foot. The general dissertation, or excuse me, a dissertation on the canon and feudal law, published in 1765. This, again, none of this is new. This plot, you know, Mayday shortly thereafter. 11 years. The way that John Adams wrote, there seems to be direct, well, backing up. The whole quote, I think, is valuable. In a word, John Adams wrote, let every sluice of knowledge be opened and set aflowing. I would say the same today. People will argue with you. You know, people that live in a fishbowl that has been created, there is no free enterprise. There are free markets and free trade and blah, 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 which is all controlled. Those are misnomers. People live in a fishbowl, and they will argue with you, oh, no, we're in America, you know. Goethe, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. And, you know, Harriet Tubman, I freed thousands of slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they'd known they were slaves. Huh? How is that possible? People live in a fishbowl, and they'll argue with you, no, we're not controlled. Really, how much homework have you done on the subject? Well, none, but, you know, I mean, okay. You're free, right? Okay, don't pay your property taxes next year and see how free you are. Well, no, but I have to. Why? Well, you know, so that we can have roads and things. Is that what you think that money goes toward? Actually, it's not money, but that specious currency. How did we have roads then before the creation of the national income tax, or so-called anyway, or the Federal Reserve and all of this other machinery? How did people survive before the social insurance programs, the social welfare programs, and all of this limited liability nonsense, which, by the way, is part of the Tontine scheme? Anyway, how did we survive? People went out and they had a sense of urgency and sobriety and reality about their own existence. They went out, they put their hands in the soil, they made things happen for themselves. If someone had a problem in society, it wasn't a government program that breeds apathy, indolence, and so forth. It was the town. There was a coming together. You know, the churches, for example, helped folks, not some government program that creates anonymity. You know, the local community banded together to help people, and that obviously extinguishes all of that anonymity, and then, you know, it cultivates a different spirit in a different direction. I mean, I've mentioned insurance, for example. If we all were self-insured, if you instead of, you know, Congress legislating that people are forced to buy a product like Coke or Pepsi, because that's what insurance is, if we were all self-insured, instead of being able to finance a vehicle, people were buying them outright and then self-insuring, wouldn't that breed a different spirit of driver? Wouldn't people be much more defensive in the way they drive and how they park and things like that? You would think so. Because in many cases, to wreck your automobile could not only bankrupt you, but destroy your means of making a living and providing for yourself and your family. As it stands, you know, you finance, you throw a couple of dollars at it every month, and as far as insurance is concerned, $500 deductible, and, you know, I'm good. You know, limited liability. Who cares? That's the kind of spirit it breeds. And so when you go the other direction and people are actually doing things, you don't have the anonymity that this system has created, then there's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of pride. People want to get back on their feet. They want to help one another. They want to do better. And, you know, as far as that's concerned, just as a parenthetical aside, that to me is sort of what Bobby Kennedy represented, the best president we never had, you might say. Kind of a return to that spirit, being able, again, like I said the other day, to unite forces. You know, Martin Luther King, Cesar Chavez, Bobby Kennedy, suddenly amassing a formidable unified America. You know, a guy who, I mean, like Martin Luther King, I think was right. Guy who learned. He went throughout the country and actually saw for himself what was going on, heard from people, listened, and, you know, didn't need anything as far as he was concerned from the establishment, you know, and it seemed like he was trying to kind of pay homage to the hidden hand, quoting George Bernard Shaw and, you know, guys like Shaw and who else? Francis Bacon. Who quotes George Bernard Shaw and Francis Bacon? Bad guys. Or those trying to pay homage to the hidden hand. So, anyway, doing that, but, you know, just really, I think, finding it sort of contemptible. And I think he would have picked up wherever those who think the best of JFK, Bobby would have picked up where JFK left off. That's just my own. I think he would have learned. I think he would have done better. That's my own aside on that. But back to the secret society. So Benjamin Disraeli wrote these secret societies. What are their objects? They do not want constitutional government. They want to change the tenure of the land, to drive out the present owners of the soil, and to put an end to the ecclesiastical establishments. And are we seeing that happen? Yeah. Like I said, you know, you have the ecumenical movement, to the coexist movement, and then what? Exactly what Pike wrote to Mazzini. Was Pike a Satanist? He wrote about it in Morals and Dogma. Lucifer is God. Notice that, continuing from Ralph Epperson's book, notice that the two goals of the secret societies, according to Disraeli, are the same as those of what is called organized communism, the abolition of private property and the ending of the ecclesiastical establishments, quote-unquote, the religions of the world. Is it possible that so-called communism is in reality the tool of the secret societies? Gosh, that sounds exactly like what John Spivak wrote in Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, Writing of the Business Plot, back in 1935, the real story that was heavily redacted and occluded from history. Communism is a tool. Fascism, socialism, economic and financial considerations rise above all others. Sounds like 1 Timothy 6, the love of money, the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, as erroneously quoted by Ayn Rand. Anyway, Final segment coming up. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate?
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back.
He told me.
I found my quote. So, yeah, and it's one that folks like Richard Grove have talked about over at Tragedy and Hope, and pointing to, Lisa Arbuchowski wrote an article featuring James Corbett's How Big Oil Conquered the World. And Corbett, you know, mentions it actually. Speaking of the conquering, the Reconquista, we should just play the clip, but we won't in the interest of time. The oligarchs needed a mass of obedient workers. Remember John D. Rockefeller allegedly said, I want a nation of obedient workers. An entire class of people whose intellect was developed, but just enough to prepare them for lives of drudgery in a factory. Remember what George Carlin said? They want you just, you know, dumb enough not to ask questions, but smart enough to run the machine. Don't need you to run the machine anymore. Remember Bill Joy's April Fool's 2000 article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary, Obsolete. An entire class of people whose intellect was developed just enough to prepare them for lives of drudgery in a factory. Into the midst stepped John D. Rockefeller with his first great act of public charity, the establishment of the University of Chicago. He was aided in this task by Frederick Taylor Gates. This, again, is from Corbett Report, Rise of the Oil Oligarchs, How Big Oil Conquered the World. And then, of course, there's the companion, Why Big Oil Conquered the World. But continuing, he was aided in this task by Frederick Taylor Gates, a Baptist minister that Rockefeller befriended in 1889 and who would go on to be John D.'s most trusted philanthropic advisor. Philip Drew, advisor, administrator. Gates would go on to write a short tract, The Country School of Tomorrow, that laid out the Rockefeller plan for education. In our dream, we have limitless resources, and the people yield themselves with perfect docility to our molding hand. The present education conventions fade from our minds, and unhampered by tradition, we work on our own goodwill. We work our own goodwill upon a grateful and responsive folk. We shall not try to make these people or any of their children into philosophers or men of learning or science. We are not to raise them up from among, we are not to raise up from among them authors, orators, poets, or men of letters. We shall not search for embryo great artists, painters, musicians, nor will we cherish even the humbler ambition to raise up from them among them lawyers, doctors, preachers, politicians, statesmen, of whom we now have ample supply. There you go. I mean, that's the vision from more than 100 years ago, from yesteryear. For those folks who would argue, that'll do it for today. Sorry I didn't get back to the rest of Chapter 8. Ralph Epperson's book, but I hope this May Day, it was informative, and I hope you have a great day. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.